The Thursday before the Friday of his death. We're going to be in the what's called the upper room. All right, we're going to sit there, stand there. We're just going to let that absorb our experience. And tonight in the upper room, on that last night of Jesus, what we're going to do is to hear him tell people they are to wash people's feet. All right? Do you do feet? I've heard people say, hey, we're going to get married, but I just want you to know, I don't do windows. I don't mow. Let's go and get married. All right. Do you do feet? Well, let's talk about that. It's the last night. Jesus is there. It's about maybe this time of evening. The room is not as large as this room by any means. It's certainly large enough for 13 people to crowd into, perhaps some tables, because they were going to have a meal called a Passover meal. There may have been a room also for people that were going to serve the meal, but it's relatively not a very large building. Now, here's Jesus, and here are for sure 12 others that he had chosen, that he'd called by name to follow him. But you know what? They are in two different worlds. They're in the same room, but they're in two different worlds in their head. Perhaps you've had that experience where you're with someone, you're with a group, and they're having a good time, and they're connecting, and they're just really enjoying time. And you're there, and you are so alone. In your head, you're remembering something that has created distress or upset, or perhaps never feeling a part of a group. It's like people can be in the same room and be in completely different worlds. On the last night of Jesus' physical life, before he was dead as any dead person, flatlined, no respiration, couldn't fog a mirror under his nose in the old days. That's how they figured if you were still living. He's going to be dead. He goes into that room, and he does a little life review, as people at times do. Because it says in John chapter 13 that Jesus said he was now going to the Father. John writes he was going to the Father. He had been sent by the Father. He's remembered, I was sent by the Father. No doubt recounting the joys of seeing people experience the grace of God, the tragedy of people experiencing death, the heartache of him weeping over Jerusalem not just shortly before. He's going through that whole scenario like we often do in our heads. And then it says in Scripture that he was thinking, now is the time of my departure. I'm going home. Jesus, to go home, he has to go through death. He was no doubt thinking of his death. He wasn't naive. And he understood that the wages of sin is death, and if he's going to absorb the sins of the world, if he was going to be, as John the Baptizer had said, as he's doing that little replay of maybe 3 years prior to this, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But to take away the sin, to be the sacrifice, you got to die. Any of y'all had, don't raise your hand, obviously. All right, tomorrow morning is surgery. All right? Now, you need to get a good night's sleep. You got to wake up at 4:30 because they start early in hospitals. I'm sure you got a lot of sleep, just chilling, really good dreams. We're not talking about you going to have an ingrown toenail fixed, all right? We're talking major. They're going to cut deep and long. You get up in the morning. Folks, that is not your best day. Particularly when the doctor had briefed you on the probability, and I know, most of the time, you got a 0.1% of having a stroke with the anesthesia or whatever. Okay, no big deal. I'll roll the dice on that. But I know there are also people that have been said, if we don't do this, you're dead. We got to do this soon. And I got to be honest with you. In terms of your health profile, in terms of all these other parameters, the problem, okay, it's about 50-50. Or we're going to do it even though you said, I want to do this. And you know what? It was like 10% of people get past this. But you know you got to do it. What would that be like? Oh, and by the way, the surgery, we can't use anesthesia. Jesus is looking into the valley of the shadow of his death. And then he sees the disciples. This is beautiful. Read that again when you get home. It says, he loved them to the end. This is going on in his head. I love them to the end. And that's what he does. To the beginning, the end, and then the new beginning. Now, here are the disciples. All right, they're over here. They were, and we're going to see this next week, they were kind of polishing their resumes. All right? Remember, who's going to be in charge now that they said, man, didn't you see what happened 4 days ago when Jesus came in Jerusalem? Did we ever pick a winner? I mean, the stock options are going to pay off. This has been worth the ride, guys. All right, so they're doing all that stuff. Talks about that in Mark. We'll look at that next week. He looks around. There's Judas. Judas. Who closed a deal not too long before for 30 pieces of silver. It says in Scripture that Judas was the treasurer of the disciples, so he was he probably never had that much on his own. In other words, there may have been X amount in the old kitty, but and it does say he was a thief and that he would steal out of the kitty, all right? But now, man, he is cashing in 30 pieces of silver. I never had that much money in my pocket in my life. Today's dollars, you can buy a Honda Civic for 30 pieces then of silver in the 2,000 years ago. It says that he was the son of Simon Iscariot. I wonder what dad had wanted for a son, Judas, once upon a time. Well, there's Judas. And then Jesus does something that reinforces, at least in some of their minds, you know what? You can't ever predict what this Jesus guy is going to do. I mean, I thought we had him figured out. But what is he doing now? I mean, this is a Passover. He's on a roll. People love him in Jerusalem. I've seen him raise the dead. I've seen him heal the blind. I've seen him give spring in the step to people that were just, their legs weren't strong enough from birth to hold themselves up. He gets a bowl, that's what it says, right? He gets a bowl, he gets a towel. Do you have towels at home? Huh? Bathroom? Kitchen? You're going to see lots of towels. All right? I like to throw them over my left shoulder, actually. All right? Why? Because we do feet. We do feet. He gets the towel. And he starts, all right, he started, obviously, Peter was not the first guy they did this with. Because then, so he might have done Andrew and perhaps Bartholomew, and there's Peter. He starts washing Peter's feet. Peter at times doesn't think before he speaks. And he said, Jesus, you're not, you don't have to clean my feet. As a matter of fact, just you're not going to do this. Why? Well, reasons. First of all, in that culture, just a slave, the lowest paid guy on the totem pole was the guy that did feet. Perhaps Peter also, what is he doing here? He is telling Jesus that he, Peter, knows better than he, Jesus, how to do life, what to do. and what the plan is. Perhaps a little arrogance. Some might give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, put the best construction on everything. Eighth commandment stuff in our Lutheran heritage. Well, the best construction is Peter just wants Jesus not to humiliate himself. I mean, it's like Peter's, Jesus, cut this out. You're humiliating yourself, bending down, wiping dirty feet. Well, whatever the reason, he says, you don't wash my feet. And Jesus says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And then, of course, he overreacts again in a way. Well, then, head, you know, do my hair, shampoo my hair, wash my whole body, whatever. And in effect, Jesus says, we don't need to do that. All right, it's a Passover meal. Jewish people come to the Passover having cleaned up before they come. All right, they already had their bath. But they had to walk in dusty roads and dusty, perhaps even muddy pathways, depending on the weather, so when they get there, their feet are dirty. And Jesus says, I clean dirty feet. I clean up the mess. And if I don't clean the mess, you're not going to be clean. And no one else can clean the mess, Peter, of what sin does, what brokenness does, what our rebellion spirit against God does. Only I am going to clean up the mess, Peter. And then Peter, he washed his feet. Did Jesus humiliate himself when he washed feet? Or is that in fact what Paul reflects in Philippians, where he says, Jesus, who in the very nature of God did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And he was humble, which is to stoop down so that you can wash and clean and then lift up. Now, we do feet. Because Jesus then said, after that, the final verses, he said this. John writes, after Jesus had washed their feet, he put on his robe again and returned to the table, and he said to them, do you know what I've done for you? All right, I've shown you what I'm going to do. Now let's talk about it. And then he says, I have set you an example that you should do what I have done. I'm not going to ask you to do something here this evening that I have not done. And then he said, as you know, a teacher is above the student. And you call me teacher and Lord, which is who I am. But tell you what, picture this. The teacher who is so, quote, above the student does not lord it over the student, but he stoops to do feet. I have no idea what that will mean in your life, other than to say we do feet. Perhaps there'll be a moment soon, or maybe in the distant future, or maybe not too far future, where we say, you know what, life really is about me. I'm really, tell you what, I've scraped, I've gotten to where I need to be, and I got to be where I am because of how good I am, and I want people to recognize that. I want people really to bow down to me and the Lord. That image. Now wait a minute. I do feet. I'm not here to lord it over, to in some way intimidate into getting someone to do what I want. I'm here to do feet. The Lord will lift me up. I don't have to step on other people to be lifted up. Why? Because the Lord does feet. The Lord does feet with compassion. There's someone in your life who's really not very nice. No names, please. But you know. And right now they might need some compassion. Huh? They need a little understanding. They need a little bit of time. They need a little bit of grace. And we do feet. Remembering, Bill, you're not always nice. Jesus has done your feet. Let's do feet. And there's someone that is difficult to forgive, and it might take some time now, but hey, they deserve not to be forgiven. I mean, let's be real. But they need it. And we do feet. Because the Lord has washed us clean. He's done our feet. And tell you what, as it says, when Jesus sets you free indeed. And he knows how to clean up messes. And he knows how to tell you and me, as Pastor mentioned just a moment ago, that in Christ, when Christ came out of that grave, women went there to wash his feet, basically, to clean him up, right? He wasn't there. Because the Father lifted him from the grave. And may we remember the one who's lifted from the grave in a marvelous way has demonstrated to us that to stoop in humility is to be agents of God's grace and to be a means through which, by his mercy, others will be lifted. So, let's do feet. Okay. The Lord's peace be with you as we continue our journey. Amen.